Hello, hello.
Good evening, everyone. Come on in. We're getting ready for our holiday Bible study. Amen.
This is the day after the 4th. And so we're excited about this time to study. Many people are still in holiday mode, a long weekend mode, wouldn't you agree?
Yes.
And so we're not going to be on very long, but we want to keep stay consistent in terms of our time of study on Monday nights, Monday manner, as Lady Kim describes it. And we believe that God has something special in store for us as we continue to look at the 73 Psalms attributed to David. And so tonight we're going to look at chapters 13, 14, 15, and 16. Is that right?
That's correct.
All right. And those are very short chapters, mm-hmm. So don't be intimidated by that. And I know that you've already had an opportunity to explore those chapters. Some, I think one had like 7 verses, the other had 9 or something like that.
Yeah.
But
6 verses.
6 verses.
13 has 6. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So they're very brief. And so we're not going to read them all, but we're going to just kind of go through and just kind of briefly lift up and highlight some things as we move through tonight. So we'll probably be on about 40 minutes, 45 minutes. So if there are any prayer requests or praise reports, we want you to go ahead and lift those and mention them as we spend the next few minutes together. All right, Lady Kim, let's prepare and go to God in prayer. God, we bless you and we honor you and we do thank you for this day. We thank you for our lives. We thank you for your keeping power. We thank you for forgiving us of our sins and cleansing us, making us whole and afresh and anew, even for this day that you made. And so now, God, we pray that you will settle us and center us and that you might allow us to hear what you're trying to say to us through this word. We ask that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our redeemer, and we pray in advance for those who have need. Some might mention, other may not mention, but God, whatever need might be present in the lives of your people, we pray that you will show yourself strong on their behalf. So we love you and we honor you, and we thank you for being our God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, and praise God.
Amen.
All right, this is July the 5th. Is that right?
5th of July.
Yeah. So it's not often that the 4th of July falls on a Sunday. And so we had the good fortune of celebrating the 4th on the 4th of July and in the worship experience and in the house. And so tell us a little bit about what happened, Lady Kim, on yesterday as we came together to study God's word.
Well, you know, I neglected to write down the points on yesterday, so I don't have your points.
Okay.
That
I have them listed right there on the outside.
That you had on yesterday. But your sermon topic was work it out.
Work it out.
Work it out from Philippians, the 2nd chapter, verses 12 and 13, where it talks about, my beloved, as you always obey, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure.
Okay.
And so that means that once we become saved, then it's our responsibility to work out what God has put in us.
That's right. That's
God
right.
has placed gifts and abilities within each and every one of us.
Absolutely.
And he expects us to work out. Work out how? By coming to church every Sunday? Well, that's not really working it out. We can come to church on Sunday and we listen to the word, but it's when we go out and work and do what God has told us to do, then we're working it out.
Okay.
So we have to flex our spiritual muscles.
That's good.
That's good. Like going to the gym and watching somebody work out. You in the gym, but you're not doing anything. Yeah, you have to get up and do something.
That's right. That's right. You have to be an active participant. And that first point had to deal with an outward manifestation of an inward reality. So if God has placed something on the inside of us, and he has, then we ought to show some signs. There ought to be some evidence of what God has done in our lives. And so we ought not keep quiet. We ought not keep our witness to ourselves. But we are saved to do some saving, and we have been blessed to do some blessing. And so we have to go forth and show forth, the Bible says, Peter says, show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past we were not a people, but now we are the people of God. So our reality should be of such that if God has blessed, if God has healed, if God has delivered, then we ought to show some signs.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
And I think that second point had to do with we must realize that if it's not in us, then it won't come out of us.
Wow.
And so a lot of times people, they camouflage and act as if they have something, but they have not surrendered their lives totally. Is camouflage the right word? They, what's the other, perpetrate and act as if they are fully vested in the things of God. But many times, a tree is known by the fruit that it bears.
That's what the word says.
And so if God has placed something on the inside of us, then it will be evident. And I think the remaining verses in that second chapter of Philippians speaks about our behavior and how we should, you know, treat people. And can you pull that up? Because verses 16 and 14 and 15
of that same chapter
of Philippians, the second chapter, really talks about how our behavior should match our belief in God. And so we have a responsibility, once God has placed something inside of us, we should treat people a certain way. We should behave ourselves in a certain way that brings glory and honor to God. Do you have it?
2:16?
Fourteen and fifteen. Yeah.
All right. It says, "Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain."
Okay. So Paul had a special relationship with the believers in Philippi. And he says that as a result of what God has done for us, and in the midst of us working out what God has worked in, we should do things without grumbling and complaining and murmuring. You know, it says a lot about a person's behavior and their belief in God when they're always complaining, they're always murmuring, they're always starting a fire, and they're always doing this and doing that. But Paul is telling us, if we're going to work out what God has worked in, then our behavior should match our belief.
Yes, and sometimes we have to take an introspective look. If we're always, you know, like you said, grumbling and complaining, when somebody says, "Hey, how you doing?" "Oh, Lord, you know this happened." You know, have you ever met a person when you see them coming, you want to run the other way? Because they always have, there's always something. There's always a complaint. So we have to change our attitude.
That's right.
Even if something is going wrong in our lives, we need to say we're blessed and highly favored.
That's right.
We need to say this is a wonderful day despite what I'm going through.
That's
and don't
right.
even mention what you're going through. You know, I was in Aldi today, and when I got to the cashier, he said, "How are you today?" I said, "I'm great." I said, "How are you?" He said, "I'm marvelous." I said, "You've had a great weekend." He said, "I've had an incredible weekend." And
that's
I
good.
Really
that's
liked
good.
His energy.
Yeah.
That made me feel good.
That's
it
right.
picked me up.
That's
and
right.
as I was bagging my groceries, I heard him ask the next customer, "Well, how are you today?" And he said another word. You know, he said, "I feel tremendous." He used all kind of adjectives when he was, you know, and I was waiting for him to say the same thing he had said to me. And
he
said something
up,
completely different.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like that energy coming from him. So do things without mumbling and grumbling and complaining, you know.
That's right.
Even, I don't know if he liked his job or not, but to me, by his responses, it seemed like he loved his job.
Yeah,
and his job was checking people out at Aldi's.
My,
and
my,
that's
my.
How we should be, no matter what it is that we do. no matter what it is that we work at or who we work with, we need to have a positive attitude.
That's good. Because it will rub off. It's contagious. And we have to work out what God has worked in. And when we think about the awesome sacrifice that Jesus paid for our salvation, then we should have that same kind of enthusiasm and excitement about how we need to share and win others for the cause of Christ. Would you agree?
That's right.
So you got to work out what God has worked in.
Amen.
And do it wholeheartedly, not as unto man, but as unto God.
Unto God.
All right, let's see if we can jump into this study for tonight. Psalms, the 73 Psalms that's attributed to David. We talked about the different sections and how those 73 Psalms, some people have a tendency to think that all of the Psalms were attributed to David, but there are only 73 that are actually attributed to him, and they're broken up into sections. And we're in the first section of those 73 where the title would be is that how God is beside us.
Right.
And David went through a lot of different things in his journey. We know David as a man after God's own heart. And David had some issues. He had some trials, some tribulations. He had some pitfalls, some stumbling blocks along the way. But he could remain faithful in his love for God. And God showed himself strong on behalf of David and created within him a clean heart and renewed his spirit. And I think the same is true for us, because oftentimes we get in a crunch or we get in a little tight, if you will, and we want to give up. We want to throw in the towel.
Yeah.
But God continues to extend his grace and mercy, and that's awesome, Lady Kim, because throughout the Bible, even in our study in Genesis, we saw the compassion of God, the grace of God, and the mercy of God. And so it is with what happens here in David's experience. And the same is true for us. God continues to extend his mercy, and he continues to forgive us. And even though we fall short and we backslide and all of that, God yet continues, just like in the prodigal, what we did a couple of weeks ago. God stands ready with open arms to receive us, even though we've squandered all of our gifts up and resources and everything.
Right.
God still stands ready to receive us.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So good to see you, Brother Andrew. That's Brother Andrew Lawson. He said he's watching and he's listening. Mm-hmm. That's good there. So we're in the 13th chapter of Psalms, 13th division of Psalms. And this has to do with the deserted soul. The deserted soul. Is that right, Lady Kim?
Yes.
And this is a part of, like what we said, the first section of the 73 Psalms that's attributed to David, and it's entitled God Besides Us. So David is in trouble right here, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And he's going through some things. So what is David trying to connect with God, and what is David trying to do in this particular psalm here?
Well, you know, David always cries out to the Lord.
Okay.
When he's in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And that lets us know, you know, I'm just going to cut right through the quick. That is an example for us that when we get in trouble,
mm-hmm.
we don't need to call. The first person that we usually call is our friend,
mm-hmm.
or our significant other, or our husband, or our
best
friend. Yeah, go on. I call it Facebook. Facebook. And put all kind of stuff out there on Facebook. All that stuff, most of that stuff out there is fake. You know, everybody shows the good side.
Uh-oh.
Don't nobody want to show.
They don't show the bad pictures.
You know, there's no in between.
Uh-huh.
It's either all good or somebody doing something crazy.
All bad.
Mm-hmm. But David cries out to the Lord. You know, in the midst of his troubles, this psalmist breaks out into this cry. How long, Lord?
Yeah.
That's what the first verse says. How long, Lord? Will you forget me forever?
Wow.
So he's saying, God, have you forgotten me? It's been so long, it seems like it's been forever. He asks, how long will you hide your face from me. How long, God, will you neglect me? Will I be like this my whole life? This is David talking.
Mm-hmm.
And he's crying out to God. He feels deserted. That's what we mean by deserted soul. He feels like the Lord is withdrawing his favor and help. How long shall I have these anxieties of the mind, a perplexed mind? So how long shall I take counsel in my soul, being perplexed and waiting for God to aid in delivering him, having sorrow in his heart daily? A sorrow from without stems from within his plans inwardly for his own relief. And it seemed to be in vain.
Yeah.
So we know that David is just feeling some kind of way, as the young people say.
That's right.
And he says, how long will my enemies triumph over me? So again, David is crying out to God. And then in verse number 3, it says, consider and hear me, O Lord, my God, our words which show that the psalmist praise that the Lord would look upon him or acknowledge his wants or attend to his cry and lighten his eyes, or he may sleep the sleep of death. The psalmist is exhausted with trouble.
That's right. That's right.
And despair, as if he's about to die. He seemed near to him, putting him in total darkness, like, you know, a sleep like death. But David prays for victory over his enemies.
Wow, isn't that something?
He would like God to prevent his enemies from triumphing or prevailing over him.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing how his enemies would gloat over his fall, David was even more determined not to be moved. He did not want his enemies, those that were causing him trouble, to rejoice when he was moved or brought down or brought low. David has trusted God's mercy, his friendship, and his promises.
Mm-hmm.
He has confidence in God, not himself, and will trust God forever. So David trusts in God, not only in himself. And sometimes, you know, we give ourselves too much credit.
That's
you
right.
know?
That's right.
We trust in our own abilities, and we don't lean and trust and depend on God. His heart shall rejoice in God's salvation or deliverance from his present troubles. David will sing unto the Lord because he had treated him well with favor and with bounty. He was generous towards David. When we trust, we rejoice. We sing praises to God.
That's good. That's good. You know, Lady Kim, as you were going through those verses, and we're in the 13th division of Psalm, this is David, and he's really in a deserted place. He's, as a matter of fact, he's in a place of withdrawal, and David is trying to find some kind of relief and some kind of help, and so he's crying out to God. And I think many times, Lady Kim, we as believers find ourselves in a place of withdrawal where we don't hear God's voice, and we think God has deserted us, and this is what David was going through. But in that fourth verse, it really brings things together. It's almost like he came to himself. It says that David prays for victory mm-hmm. over his enemies. Oftentimes, I think we tell God about everything that we're going through, but we need to start, you know, telling our enemy and about our troubles, about our God, rather mm-hmm. than always complaining about what we're going through and bringing our complaints to God. We need to start telling our complaints about how good God is mm-hmm. and how God can and will make a way for us, even though it seems like we're in a place of withdrawal.
Mm-hmm. There's a saying that says we need to tell our troubles about our God and not tell our God about our troubles all the time.
Okay, okay, mm-hmm. okay. So this division of Psalm is really a powerful one, and I think we all should be able to relate to it. And if you haven't been in a place where you felt that you were deserted or you felt as if you were not hearing God's voice, then be encouraged and know that David was there. Many believers have been there, but we have to continue to be steadfast in our approach to God. and praying that God will give us the victory. So what's a kind of a handle or that we can put on this 13th division as we prepare to move to the next section?
Well, that the Lord will never forget us.
Okay.
You know, even when we cry out to him, we need to trust him.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to sing praises because of our blessings and because God has been merciful and he has saved us.
Okay.
You know, the mercy, salvation. You know, when we cry out like David and say, "How long, Lord, how long will you forget me?" You know, God is there.
Yeah.
He's there. He has not forgotten about us.
That's it. So we need to trust in the Lord, as what the Proverbs would say, with all of our heart, and lean not unto our own understanding.
Yes.
But in all of our ways, acknowledge him, and he's promised to direct our path.
Mm-hmm.
And many times we may not see exactly the full picture of what God is trying to do in our lives and in our situations. But we have to wait on God, and
mm-hmm.
we have to trust him and believe that he's going to do exactly what he said he would do. Isn't that right?
Absolutely.
All right, let's move over to the 14th chapter, where David really kind of talks about the future of the fool.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, isn't that something?
You know, when I was growing up, we couldn't say that word.
What, you couldn't say fool?
Fool.
Why not?
We couldn't say fool, we couldn't say stupid.
You couldn't?
No, my mother would get on us.
Would she?
Yes.
She
wouldn't allow us to call each other a fool.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
She wouldn't let us. I shouldn't say she wouldn't let us say fool.
Mm-hmm.
She would not allow us to call each other fools.
So you think, what was the principle that your mother was trying to get y'all to understand as a result of
that? I think she was a little wiser than I thought, you know.
Of course.
When it came to the biblical sense of the word fool,
okay.
You know. A fool, you know, does not believe in God.
Okay.
A fool does not trust in God.
Mm-hmm.
A fool does not have confidence in God.
Okay.
So, you know, like you said in chapter 14, it's the future of the fool.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still talking about how God is beside us.
Right.
How God is beside us.
Right.
So, I changed. I'm sorry. I flipped my Bible to the wrong verse. And so, because the fool says there is no God.
That's the heading
on my Bible,
mm-hmm.
says. So my mother was wise about that.
Okay. Okay.
As we begin, and this chapter opens up, chapter 1 says the fool says in his heart there is no God.
Right. Right.
Yes.
Right.
So in his secret, not public thoughts, in his secret thoughts, the fool has said in his heart that God does not exist, which only a fool or a wicked man would say.
Mm-hmm.
They we're talking about are fools, are corrupt, no reasoning, no grace or wisdom, but only sin and infidelity. Fools have done abominable, corrupt works. There are none that doeth good.
Okay, okay.
No fools.
No fools?
No fools do good. And you know, they're sinful.
Mm-hmm.
We all sin and fall short of God's glory, but as Christians, we have a reprieve in Jesus Christ.
Okay, okay.
But sin leads to doing no good things, nothing pleasing to God. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men. That means, that's in the second verse. That's what the second verse says. That means that God sees and knows all things to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. He wanted to see if there were any acting wise or seeking him in knowledge of him or becoming acquainted with God, none of which a fool does.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's good. That's good. You got any comments there?
Yeah, Sister Gwen said it's like putting our children in time out. They think we have forgotten them and they wonder how long.
That's good.
But we know they're there and we'll release them when we think the time is right, our Father does the same thing.
Okay. All right.
That's good. Talking about how long, Lord. Mm-hmm, huh? Mm-hmm, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So really, this whole chapter 14 has to do with how if we continue to ignore the fact that God is God and He is who He says He is, and He is all-powerful and almighty, and He rules with a hand of power and a heart of love, the fool really takes the opposite in terms of their belief and their actions. They don't really acknowledge that God is who He says He is. Mm-hmm. Isn't that right?
Amen.
And so their future is what David is talking about here, is really limited in the fact that they have fallen beyond that place of grace. And once we give our lives to the Lord, then we come in out of that darkness into the marvelous light. As you indicated, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But when we give our lives to the Lord, I think God continues to allow us to have a conscience about what we have done that's not pleasing in His sight.
Amen.
And He gives us room to repent, and He also gives us an opportunity for a second chance because of the grace that He extends.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. We had another comment for the previous verses that we read. Sister Darlene said we need to focus on praise and not the trial. David did in verse 6. I think she's talking about in the 13th chapter.
Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Praise lifts us out of the now into God's presence where there is true freedom.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah, she's on the streaming side, uh-huh. So we mm-hmm. can't see any messages on the comments on the streaming side. So thank you for that, Darlene.
Thank you. Yeah, and that whole 13th chapter, and I think Sister Gwen was making reference to that as well.
Yes.
Because those are powerful remarks and comments that both of them had to share as it relates to how we need to trust God and how we need to be faithful even when we're going through.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. We're in the third, on the third verse of the 14th chapter now.
And there are how many verses in
Psalms? There are just 7 verses. So we're on the third verse. We're almost halfway done with the 14th chapter of Psalms. Remember, 73 Psalms attributed to David, chapter 14 is one of them. And it says, all have gone aside. You know, we all turn aside from God, mm-hmm. Become filthy and turn from the right path to the wrong. But it's talking about fools, remember?
Right.
Their character has become altogether filthy. That's morally corrupt or defiled.
Mm-hmm.
None of them does good, not one. All have universal depravity and corruptness. He wants to know if all the workers of iniquity, this is David, have no knowledge of God, but find pleasure in errors and imperfections of people of God and enjoy wickedness, not calling on the name of God.
Mm-hmm.
Are they consistent in devouring and destroying God's people just as they are greedily eating their meat and bread, believing that they are as good as the children of God and not calling upon the Lord? That means they don't worship.
Right, right. And they have no conscience, Reverend, of how good God is. And I think even in that era in which they were in, the culture was much different. But we have a lot of people, even in today's time, that won't call on the name of the Lord, don't believe in God. And we call them different names, but the Bible calls them fools.
Fools.
And so many have fallen short. And the thing I was interested in as you were talking, oftentimes those who even are fools, when they get into a situation mm-hmm. where they really need some help,
They call on God. That's
right. And
the first thing they say is, Lord have mercy.
Oh God.
Oh God, oh Jesus.
Jesus,
help me.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's still an opportunity for people to come in out of darkness into the light. But we have to make sure now that our behavior, there it is again, matches our belief. And if we are believers, we've got to know that we know that we know that we know, and that our anchors hold in the good times as well as in the bad. And God will come and see about us.
Yes, he
so
will.
We can't grow weary. I don't know who that word is for, but we can't grow weary in well-doing. For the word says that in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Now, the season is not determined by you, but it's determined by God.
Amen.
So in due season, God's going to lift you. God's going to pick you up. God's going to give you everything that you need to be complete and to be successful and to be an overcomer. For we're more than conquerors, mm-hmm. the Bible says, through mm-hmm. him that loved us. And somebody ought to tell the Lord thank you right
yeah.
there.
I'll tell him thank you.
That's right, because God has been faithful. He's been kind. He's been just. He's been marvelous. And on yesterday, Lady Kim, even though we had quite a few people celebrating our independence in terms of the 4th of July, our true independence is in Christ.
Amen.
You know, the word says, he who the Son sets free
is
free indeed. So we don't have to wait for a man-made holiday. We don't have to wait for an opportunity for the 4th of July to roll around for us to be reminded of our independence. But every morning we get up, we have something
Lord.
To give God praise for. And
yes,
thank
God.
Him
thank
for
you,
he continues to sustain us. And it might not, we might not have everything that we think we should have, but I thank God that I'm not what I used to be, and that I'm moving forward, and that he's keeping me, and he's continued to sustain me, and he's given me yet another opportunity at life. And so I will bless the Lord at all times. And his praise shall continue to be in my mouth. Is there anybody who's watching tonight who don't mind giving God some praise and telling the Lord thank you for you have freedom in Christ? I tell you, and God has been faithful.
Yes,
come on, somebody
is.
Tell the Lord thank you.
Oh, Sister Jessica got her hands up. She's
hallelujah.
Telling them thank you. Sister Mary and Sister Emma saying thank you.
Yes, God.
Dr. Q says thank you.
Hallelujah.
Brother Andrew says thank you, Lord.
That's it. Thank you, Lord.
Yep, giving him praise.
He's
giving
good
him
God.
Praise.
He's a good
yes,
God.
He is. Let's go on. Look at verse number 5. We're in chapter 14 of Psalms. Verse 5. They were in great fear, thinking there was no God. But God is among the generations of righteous people and will not have the oppressors molesting his people.
That's right.
God is on his people's side, making enemies have great cause to tremble.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in that verse, it was talking about how they were in great terror, for God was with the generation of the righteous.
Right, right.
So,
right.
You know, I believe that God is with the generation of the righteous now.
That's right.
Wickedness going on all around us. But we can rest assured that God is with the generation of the righteous.
That's good. That's
I call
good.
Myself righteous. What
yeah,
about you?
I do. And it's really about right living and right behavior.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about doing what's pleasing in God's sight, being consciously aware of how we treat people and how we respond and how we show appreciation for what God has done. And God honors that, and he includes us in that same distinction of being righteous.
Amen.
Right living.
Right living.
Mm-hmm.
Right living. And when we try to do right, and I always tell our daughters this, if we do right by God, he'll do right by
he'll
us.
He'll do right by us.
Righteousness or right living. If you live right, God will fight your battles. If you live right, God will bless you abundantly. If you live right, if you tithe right, if you
mm-hmm.
give right, if you, you know, walk right, if you talk right, God will be there with you.
All right,
I'm a
Reverend.
Living witness.
All right, Reverend.
Amen.
I felt some fire coming from over here. I had to step move back. That's right. But you're right on point, Lady Kim. And so we have to allow what God has placed on the inside of us to be made manifest in the reality of how we live outwardly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
And verse 6 says the wicked, well, this is the interpretation of verse number 6.
Okay.
It says the wicked has despised or shame the counsel of the poor, afflicted the humble for believing in God.
Okay.
Because the Lord is their refuge in their poverty. They go to God, putting their trust in God. Have you known some people like that,
mm-hmm.
that despise the saints?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was a lady that I worked with some years ago, and she knew I was a preacher. She knew I was a pastor's wife, and she would always come to me with complaints about other people. In her last sentence, her last tag, she would say, "And they call themselves a Christian." You know? And I got a feeling that she despised the saints because of their righteousness. And she looked down on people when they misstepped mm-hmm. or did something wrong. But one day I finally told her, I said, all have sinned
mm-hmm.
and fallen short of God's glory. Yes, they may be a Christian. Yes, she or he may call themselves a Christian. But God is a loving and forgiving God.
My.
And so you can't despise or look down on people.
Okay.
That love the Lord with all your heart, with all their heart, and that's what the fool does.
Okay. That what was that little I heard something. I thought I heard something in your voice.
Uh-huh. Getting ready to crank up.
That's right. It sounded like that's what it sounded
oh,
like to
Lord.
Me.
Let's go on, okay? The verse number 7. My Bible went off on my phone. Let me see where we are. Verse number 7. It talks about, that the salvation for Israel will come out of Zion when the Lord restores the fortunes of his people. Let Jacob rejoice and let Israel be glad. So the last verse of that says, he desires that the Hebrew people and the people of God were delivered from Zion,
mm-hmm.
that the Messiah would come out of Zion, out of Israel or Jerusalem. The prayer of the psalmist was also that God would deliver his people from the Babylonian captivity.
Okay.
Jacob, another name for the Hebrew people, shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad. The psalmist ends with a prayer to God to hear or help the captives.
So even though this is talking about the future of the fool, David ends this prayer, ends this psalm with a prayer for God to hear and to help the captives. Isn't that right?
Yes.
And so the fool will say there is no God.
Right.
But David is making sure that God gets clarity in terms of him hearing him as he prays for help and for those who are in captivity. What do they say in that, Reverend?
I'm not going to fool with Sister Glenn tonight.
Well, she's inviting us over for dinner after Bible study?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
All right, Sister Glenn. He was talking about when I said, she was trying to build herself up for you because she was hoping that Pastor Murray might be able to help her, I guess, in her sins. Okay.
What?
That's why I said okay. She'll explain that one later.
Absolutely.
All right.
Well, we just finished chapter 14, and we've already covered chapter 13. These are short chapters. And we're going to try to move to chapter 15, and I believe there are just a few verses in chapter 15, five verses, and all of these are attributed to David, and these are a part of the 73 Psalms that we are focusing in on as we talk about what David had experienced and what he had gone through, and how he acknowledged God to help and get him where he needed to be as it relates to, whatever the situation was. He did not give up on God. He remained faithful and steadfast in his belief that God would come and see about him.
Amen. Okay. Amen. Well, the theme for the 15th chapter, who shall dwell in your holy hill? the happiness of the holy.
The happiness of the holy.
We're still talking about God being beside
the happiness of the holy.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Yes.
That's going to be similar to that thing where we talked about right living and righteousness, right?
Mm-hmm, yes.
Holy, because some people don't consider themselves to be holy.
Mm-hmm.
Some people don't even consider themselves, even believers, as being righteous.
Right.
You follow me?
Yes.
And so it has to do with our motive and our behavior in terms of what we believe. And a lot of times, Lady Kim, I believe when we have not fully matured in the things of God, it will show up in how we handle different situations. But when a believer matures even more so in the things of God, and that maturity comes by hearing the word. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we've got to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And then we have to allow our behavior in terms of the way we treat people, the way we live, the way we allow what God has placed on the inside of us to be manifest outwardly. We have to make sure that all of that lines up and connects with what God, what will bring glory and honor to God, mm-hmm. and what will be pleasing in God's sight.
Amen.
And so sometimes people don't get there because they're not following the necessary disciplines that's going to push them to another level in their spiritual maturity.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right, so this 15th chapter talks about the happiness of the holy,
mm-hmm.
the joy of the holy. Holy, would that be another way of saying that? Okay, so David starts out, and you said there's only, what, about five verses here. He starts out with the question he asks to the Lord, is who will abide permanently in the tabernacle, the dwelling place, if you will, who is qualified to dwell with the God prepared for heaven, Zion, dwelling place of God. So David has a question. He starts out with a question and trying to find out what does it actually take in order for us to be in that place where we can worship you in spirit and in truth and in holiness. What does it take for us to be happy in terms of the being one of your saints or being one who is holy?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then in the second and third verses, he turns around and he asks us that question.
That's right.
He says, the one who walketh uprightly,
mm-hmm.
has character that is complete in regard to God. The one who worketh righteousness and does right in relation to God and man. One who speaketh the truth, one whose religion has a seat in his heart and no selfishness or hypocrisy. One should not backbite or do evil or harm to their neighbor with speech and slander and with his tongue, or should not have a reproach or a disapproval or a dispute with his neighbor.
Okay.
Neighbor.
Okay.
So, you know, he starts out in verse 1 with a question, and then verses 2 and 3, he answers that question. Who will be able to abide or sojourn, or what did your verse say?
Verse number 1?
Yes.
Who will be able to abide?
Mine says, who shall be able to sojourn?
Mm-hmm.
In your tent, or who will be able to live permanently in your tent,
in your dwelling place? Yeah.
Yes, and then he answers that. You know, again, it's walking those who walk upright.
That's right. And there are some disciplines there that I think it's tied to our spiritual maturity, as we were talking about earlier, because he talks about backbiting. It talks about doing evil. It talks about how you speak evil against your neighbor, and how you use your tongue in terms of how you slander people. All of that is being displayed here as it relates to the behavior that God would require of us, and the things that we should not do,
mm-hmm.
if we want to be a part of those who are titled as walking uprightly.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And David goes on in verse 4 to say, the eyes of the vile person is contempt or scorned or despised in the eyes of another who does not estimate character by wealth or rank.
Okay.
The one who fears the Lord will understand the breaking of a promise or a contract when the promise or contract would involve that which is morally wrong.
Okay. That's a mouthful there, Lady Kim, and I know our time is getting away from us, but this has a lot to do with how people want to take advantage of other people, particularly when they have something to offer that the other person doesn't have, and then they want to charge,
interest extra.
Mm-hmm. extra, just because they have the capacity to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of people do that, and they still consider themselves believers. But this is very clear in terms of those who God qualifies, if you will, as walking uprightly.
Mm-hmm.
Before him.
And you know, when I read that, I thought about, because that next verse talks about he does not use his money for usury or high interest premiums for the use of the money as to be oppressive.
Mm-hmm.
And when I read that, I thought about these title loan places.
Okay.
And
okay.
You know, places like that who loan money on your car based on the value of your car, but they charge such a high interest rate,
right,
that you'll never be able to get out. Or these cash advance places.
Mm-hmm.
These are the kind of places, oppressive places, that came to mind when I read that Christians just ought not do that. Loan out money for high interest rates, you know? And so they're oppressors of the oppressed. All right. And it says that he will not take a reward or a bribe. This is talking about the purchase who is upright. He will not take a reward or a bribe, inducing him to decide against justice and not oppressing the innocent. Because taking bribes was forbidden in Exodus. The 20th chapter, verse 8, it talks about it. Deuteronomy 16 and 19, Deuteronomy 27 and 25, and Proverbs 17 and 23. Talks about taking bribes. Taking bribes is forbidden. All right? He that doeth these things shall never be moved. This person shall be permitted to abide with God as a friend of God and shall never be moved. So a person who does not, you know, take part in those will not be moved away from God.
Okay. All right. And so it gives us some clear distinctions here in terms of what brings glory and honor to God and what pleases God. And I think these disciplines will help us to understand just how much we have grown and how much we have matured in the things of God, because if there are some things that's holding us back and hindering us from bringing honor to God's name, then it's obvious right here that God is not pleased with these kind of efforts or these kind of behaviors.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. Dr. Q said it's not just financial. People do it in relationships too. We have to jump through too many hoops to be in your life and on your level. It's depleting and tiresome. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't cost that much to be associated with you financially or mentally.
That's good.
That's real good.
That is.
I like that. You're right. It's not only financial.
That's right.
You know, some people suck the life out of you.
Wow.
You know,
wow.
They want you to give and give and give. And it eventually costs you mentally.
Mm-hmm.
You mentally drain,
mm-hmm,
dealing with them. They always want to ride in your car.
Uh-oh.
They always want you to pay for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
They always want you, to take them somewhere. So, you know, you're right about that.
That's right. So it's not just with money. It's with how well we respond in terms of our mental and our physical well-being and the well-being of those that are surrounding us.
Amen. Sister Jessica said, it cost me, if it costs me my peace, it's too expensive.
Wow.
That's good. I like that too. If it costs you your peace, that is too much.
It's too expensive.
Costs too much.
That's right.
Yes. Y'all
Amen.
On it tonight.
Amen.
Thank you for
Amen.
Your comments.
Amen.
Good.
Lady Kim, I want us to go ahead and bring it to a close tonight mm-hmm. and not really try to get into 16, but let's go ahead and challenge the people to read 16 and 17 for next week. And I think on our outline, we would be moving to
18,
16, 17, and 18.
Yeah, 18 is quite long. 18 has 50 verses.
Okay.
So it was by itself. Mm-hmm. I think the noonday class on Wednesday will be doing chapter 18.
Okay, for this Wednesday.
This coming up Wednesday, yes.
Okay.
So we're a little behind then. We have to do
We got to go ahead.
16, 17.
We might
and part of 18,
right,
and maybe
week.
We can catch up the following week.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So read 16, 17, and 18. We will try to cover those on next week.
All right. That sounds good. And I know many of you had an opportunity to really enjoy this extended weekend, and it's not often that the 4th of July falls on a Sunday, but we praise God for an expression of gratitude and appreciation to God for the freedom that we have in Him.
Amen.
And we're excited about that. And so we have to work out what the Lord has worked in. And we have to continue to be steadfast in the things of God. And this whole study tonight really, Lady Kim, kind of talks about how what we believe about God should be evident in how we treat other people.
Amen.
And our behavior should match our belief. I just sense that in my spirit tonight. And so even as we prepare to close, God wants us to live blameless. Mm-hmm. And that requires discipline, and some spiritual disciplines have to be in place. And you can see yourself maturing as you practice what you believe about God.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yeah. So we're grateful for each of you on the call tonight and on the virtual time together tonight, and those who are on the
streaming side of the Bible study.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And those who are on the Facebook side. We have two different platforms that we try to get the word out, so we are certainly grateful. You won't see the messages on the Facebook side of those who on the streaming side. Is that correct, Lady Kim?
Right.
And so we thank God for each of you. Any praise reports or prayer requests? Did we see any prayer requests mentioned?
No, we didn't see any prayer requests mentioned, but I do have a few. We want to continue to lift up Mother Lillian Briscoe. I did not talk to Jennifer today. I usually talk to her on a daily basis. But continue to lift her up in prayer. She is improving. Continue to lift up Brother Charles Beecham.
Mm-hmm.
Bircham, I'm sorry. Lift up Brother Thomas Doggett, who's going to be going in for a surgery.
I did talk to him today, and he says it's on the 21st.
Okay.
And so they're going to have to perform surgery on him. And so he was extremely grateful for us calling, and I told him we did lift him up yesterday in the service. But faithful and consistent member.
Amen.
He said he misses his church, and he misses you, Lady Kim, as well as me, and he looks forward to when he can get back in the service.
Amen. We'll continue to lift him up in prayer. We're going to continue to lift up Brother Charles Reynolds
in our prayers.
He had a procedure on last Friday that mm-hmm. went well.
Mm-hmm.
But we're still praying for his healing, God's healing mercy and power to go forth. Sister Carla Washington says her coworker lost his home in a fireworks accident while he slept.
Wow.
Thank God he got out alive, but he lost everything. wow, isn't that an unfortunate thing? But we thank God that God spared his life, you know, and he will recover. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to be like Job. I'm prophesying that he's going to be like Job. You know, what he lost, he's going to get double for his trouble. Wow. Praise God. I thank you, Jesus.
Well, like you were saying, Lady Kim, it was crazy out there last night, and this was probably one of the most extreme displays of
fireworks
and then gunshots.
My Lord, my little dog was going crazy. I could not go to bed until she calmed down. She was so stressed with all those fireworks.
Yeah.
But
I walked the day and I could see evidence of how the neighbors were just at it last mm-hmm. night. But I think people are just trying to find a way to kind of release some of the frustration that they've gone through over the past year. And Minister Collard, just let us know how we can be of assistance once he kind of figures out what he needs, your co-worker. We want to see if we can help and assist and, you know, meeting some of those needs that he might have. But that's unfortunate for mm-hmm. People be out there like that and then burn the man's house down. And mm-hmm. we praise God that he did get out, you know, without any harm to him. All right. Well, anything else, Lady Kim, as we prepare to close out tonight?
Not that I can think of. If you were late for Bible study, of course, we'll do this same Bible study on Wednesday at 12 noon via conference call. And so you should have received an email tonight with Bible study information.
Mm-hmm.
So just look at that. If you want to give tonight, you know, you can give the same way we always give. We have four ways to give. You know, we have Cash App, PayPal. You can mail it in to the church, or you can bring mm-hmm. it to the church.
That's right. That's right. So we're grateful and we thank God for your consistency and your continued support of the ministry. Even though everybody has not come back, we're back in person worship.
In person.
But we understand that some people are making their way and trying to get back on track. But we thank you for being consistent in your giving. The work of Christ continues to go forth as we continue to do what God has charged us to do at a time.
Amen. And you know, I'm going to even put this out here. Some people, because some of my coworkers told me, I asked them were they back to worship yet, and they said yes, their church was back to worship. And they said, but I haven't gone back yet. I said, well, why not? They said, I gotten lazy. It's easy to just roll over and watch online. The Bible tells us to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. So we need to be in person. If you one of those lazy people, shake off the lazies and come on back to church. You get out and go to work every day.
Watch
I see some of y'all at the grocery store waving from afar. If you can go to work and go to the grocery store, you can come to the house of the Lord. Come on out. We miss y'all. We love y'all too.
I know, right? That's a word right there, Lady
so
Kim.
So come on back.
Those are the different apps. I know. Can you see that on there?
I can't see that, honey.
Okay.
Right. Let me try. I'll blow it up. Nope, I can't see that. If I take my glasses off,
all right.
I can see it. No.
Well, don't worry about it.
That's too tiny for my old eyes, okay? All right. Anyone else have any prayer requests before we go on tonight? We're getting to that time.
Let me see. I was trying to open this up, but go ahead.
All right. Let us go to God in prayer as we end. Thank you all for being here tonight. We appreciate you. God, we thank you tonight. We bless you and we honor you, for you are worthy to be praised, God. God, we lift up our sick to you tonight, God, and we ask, oh God, that you would just touch their bodies, oh God.
Yes, God.
Relieve any pain. We ask that you would dispel the disease. God, get rid of anything that's in that body that's not of you.
Thank you, God.
We thank you for their healing tonight, God. God, for those who have endured surgeries, we thank you for Sister Lily Jones and how she came through her procedure, God, and she was even in service on Sunday. We thank you for healing her body, continuing to heal her body. We pray a special blessing, and we thank you for the healing of Brother Charles Reynolds, that procedure that went well. We thank you, oh God, for continuing to touch Minister Kelly Seeley, oh God, as she continues to heal. And any others, oh God, that I'm neglecting tonight, I ask that you would touch and heal right now. We lift up the co-worker of Minister Carla Washington, oh God, who lost everything in a tragic fire. But we know, God, and we ask that you restore it 100-fold.
Do it, God.
And we thank you, oh God, that people are going to meet every need in his life as a result of this unfortunate incident. And we thank you tonight, God, that you're going to show yourself strong on his behalf. We ask, oh God, that we continue to, as we continue to lift you up, that you would continue to show us and lead us and guide us in the way that you would have us to go, that we might be counted as part of the righteous. And we thank you tonight.
Thank you, God.
We give you honor, we give you praise, and we give you glory for all that you've done and all that you're doing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And praise God.
Amen.
All right. All right. Well, thank you all tonight, and we hope that you have an enjoyable rest of the evening. Get you some rest now. Time to go back to work tomorrow. Isn't that right? But y'all be blessed. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Love you guys.